I'll say this first before, otherwise I'll forget it. Someone brought some baking treats. So if you are hungry today, there is food out there. So keep that in mind. There was a lady who had a red station wagon, and she took it to the circus. And while it was there, an elephant sat on her car. The circus owners came and apologized and said, "We're so sorry. We don't know why, but our elephant likes sitting on red cars." The car was still drivable, and so she got in it to take it to get it repaired. But as she was going, she came across an accident where two vehicles had hit each other. She couldn't go anywhere. Quickly, the police and ambulance came, and when they got out of their vehicles, they quickly ran to her car and said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I wasn't in an accident or anything. There was an elephant that sat in my car." At that point, they realized that she was in shock and had head injuries, and they wrapped her up and took her to the hospital. Sometimes it can be hard seeing the full picture in our lives and in our neighbors' lives. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you know what we need, what our families need, what our world needs. We want to trust in your goodness and faithfulness every day of our lives. You see things that we cannot, and so we're choosing to surrender our way of doing things so we can follow your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Galatians 3, verse 19 to 25. Ernie's got it up there already. I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 3, 19 to 25. "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring would come to whom the promise had been made. And it was ordained through angels by a mediator. Now a mediator involves more than one party, but God is one. Is the law then opposed to the promise of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could make alive, then righteousness would indeed come through the law. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we no longer are subject to a disciplinarian." Have you ever ended up doing something in your life and wondered what the purpose of that was or how it benefited anything? When I was in Cubs and Scouts one year, we had to wear hats. Maybe it was a foreshadowing that I'd be wearing hats 40 years later in my life. Ernie, you can show a picture. There it is. The hat, concealed between your head and the hat, was a little plastic bag that was stapled to the interior of the hat. This was not your deluxe Ziploc bags we would have today. This little bag that held its contents was with a safety pin. What essential treasures were in this plastic bag that was rubbing against your head all night? I contacted one of my friends to say, "Could you remember what was in there?" This is what we remember. There was a pencil, an eraser, a string, and maybe a piece of paper. I don't remember any other contents. Now, how these items were to protect you in the forest against bears or coyotes, I was not quite sure. Maybe you could write a note to your mom about your last days as the coyote is chewing on your leg. You would think maybe there would be sticks in there to rub together to start a fire. It probably would not be a complete shock that I only lasted 1 year in Cubs, and that I wanted to play baseball for 6 years where we didn't have to tuck things in our hats. Now, in contrast to the Cubs hat, when I was in grade 9, it was mandatory to take typing class. There was much that went on in that class, and most of it was not very productive, with people making casts for their fingers so they wouldn't have to type that day, and then the next day someone else would wear the cast. This was all before computers. Who knew one day far, far away that keyboards, which many of us use every day, would be so much like a typing machine? And so it became a very handy tool for the future. In this letter to the churches in Galatia, there's some confusion about how the Old Testament laws and rules worked in people's relationship with God once Jesus came and died and rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Earlier in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul's making it very clear that we're saved by faith and not by works. So does the law have any purpose in the life of the believer after Jesus comes? Is the law and the prophets more like my hat, which did not seem to have a functional use? Or was it more like my typing class that benefited me down the road? Paul will try to explain the law's purpose in today's passage. So in Galatians 3:19, Paul asks the obvious question, why then the law? It was added because of transgressors, until the offspring would come to whom the promise had been made and was ordained through angels as a mediator. The law was given alongside the promise of a Savior. The law was to show people their sins. The law became like a magnifying glass to reveal what was already there. Have you ever tried seeing things up close with a magnifying glass or a microscope? I know as Moira has been getting older, I see her pulling out her magnifying glass more and more. She is not here to enjoy that. In biology, there's much going on that we cannot even see with the naked eye, but the microscope can see it. Things that seemed impossible were now made clear. Things that were hard to see in the spiritual life were clarified through the law. It helped reveal certain behaviors were sinful, but the law was only a temporary measure. It was never going to be the permanent answer. The law was only to be in place until the promised child appeared. God has given the law through angels to Moses, and Moses played the role of mediator between the people of Israel and God. Galatians 3:20. Now, mediator involves more than one party, but God is one. Often you'll see in business or in relational disputes, a third party is brought in to mediate. But when God made the promise to Abraham, God did not need a mediator. Scott McKnight suggested like this, a literary line that would read like this, Abraham, then Israel's bad behavior, then the law of Moses, then sin, and finally the coming of Christ. Then the Apostle Paul, his second question, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if the law had been given that could make alive, then righteousness would indeed come through the law. The law helped us realize we were missing the mark in our relationship with God and each other. So in this way, it was helpful. Often when we do tests at school or at work, it helps us understand what we know and what we don't know. So though the law and faith were not opposed to each other, the law was never going to be able to solve the dilemma or the problem of sin. If everything could have been completed through the law, Jesus would have never had to come and die. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. All of us are in the exact same desperate situation, up the creek without a paddle. We're all prisoners to sin. But in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So each of us can receive God's promise of freedom by only believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:23. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Until the coming of Christ, we were placed under a guard by the law. We were placed under protective custody until we could be rescued. Have you ever been outside in a heavy rainstorm? It is best to have a raincoat and some kind of boots. These clothes protect from the present rain. But what if it was to rain day after day, which brought floods, endangering your car, your house, and your very life? The raincoat helps, but it won't save you in the flood. We needed to be rescued, and God knew that. Galatians 3:24, therefore, or as a result of the role the law played, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. The law was the teacher, the principal, the police person, until Christ came and we could be made right with God through faith. The law was like a strict teacher that kept the nation of Israel in line until the Messiah would come. When Jesus came, he fulfilled the purpose of the law on Israel's behalf. Galatians 3:25. But now faith has come. We no longer are subject to a disciplinarian. We've gotten our get-out-of-jail-free cards. The restorative, healing, redeeming plan was put in place right at the fall of humanity. Genesis 3:15, it says this, and I'll cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This is what God says to the serpent, who is a representative of the devil and all that is evil, when he tricks Adam and Eve in the garden. There will always be hostility between Adam and Eve's descendants and Satan's. Why are we so surprised that we're in a constant spiritual battle? How does the battle conclude? Who wins in the end? Satan will strike his heel, referring to Jesus on the cross. But it is not fatal, as Jesus rises again from the dead. Jesus will strike Satan's head, and it'll be a mortal blow, a mortal wound, crushing his head for him and all his minions. The plan all along was that we would be saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not by trying to earn our way to God. Catherine Laws, she was the wife of the warden at Sing Sing in 1921. Sing Sing was the worst prison there was. The first time Catherine went to the prison, she took her three little girls to watch a basketball game that the prisoners were playing. She noticed one guy was blind. He was a murderer. And the next time she came back, she began teaching him Braille. She kept coming back week after week. There were a whole bunch of people that could not hear, so she learned sign language so she could communicate with them. For 16 years, every week, Catherine came, and the prisoners loved her. But in 1937, something happened, and it didn't take the prisoners long to realize something was wrong. Earlier in the day, Catherine was killed in a car accident. The next morning, when the prisoners were let out in the courtroom, they all stood by a particular gate. See, Catherine's house was 3/4 mile away from the prison, and that's where her body was, and that's where the viewing was going to be. And so all the prisoners lined up by that gate to be as close as they could to her house, and they were grieving. The warden did an highly unusual thing. He said to the prisoners, "We're going to open the gates. You can go visit Catherine. Just be back before nightfall." No guards went with them. By nightfall, every one of the prisoners came back to the prison. The love of Christ in us does things the law could never do. There were Christian Jews that were demanding that these new Gentile believers could be made right with God through Jesus, but also they needed to follow the Old Testament laws and religious rituals. Paul is making it clear that the law has some benefits, but it could never save us. Only the Messiah's shed blood and resurrection could restore us and make us whole. For Paul to require non-Jewish people to observe the law made no sense. To act in this way would be communicating that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough and that God's blessing was only limited to the Jewish nation. At the start of my talk, I mentioned both my Cub hat experience and my typewriting class experience. The latter became much more useful, like the law had been to the Jews. But I have to tell you, I do not use a typewriter any longer because something way more useful and practical has come along in the world of word processing. It's called a computer. The law played an important role, but to embrace it over the freedom we have by faith in Jesus Christ would be a life-changing step backwards. Listen to what Romans 8, 1 and 2 say. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. McKnight says, those who trust in Christ are immune from the curse and condemnation of the law. Our identity before God is based on our faith and our faithfulness to Jesus, not based on our good works or the law. Are we still trying to earn our way to God? If we do something bad and feel guilty, do we try to do something sacrificial to try and even things up so we can feel better? Giving in the offering plate, volunteering for Sunday school, going to home group, helping in youth, that's a double sacrifice right there. We need to keep in mind our freedom in Christ should make us want to fulfill the law and the Ten Commandments. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So the law still functions in revealing our waywardness, our lying, our cheating, our coveting, our adultery, our murder, each bringing with them the consequences. But our complete freedom can only come through Jesus. So how do we sort out the sin problem in our lives today? The Bible continues to speak to us about our relationship with God, each other, and our neighbor. If we're out of alignment with any of these relationships, it should be our purpose and goal to restore the relationships. Also, the Spirit now resides in the life of the believer. And so the Spirit also speaks to us when we've run afoul. The best thing to do is acknowledge that we've broken God's peace and to ask forgiveness of our sins and to restore the relationships as much as we can on our end. We cannot always restore relationships as we would like to in this life if the other person has no desire for reconciliation. But we can forgive another person, because it's not based on how the other person responds. It's based on our relationship with God. So forgiveness can be a daily response for all who have hurt and wronged us in the past and for all who will in the future. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful that you have loved us first, so we have some idea of how to love others. Help us to remain soft to you and to others. Heal of us of our broken things, both on the inside and the outside. Help us to give up the right to punish those who have wronged us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Thank you. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name.
Couple announcements. I'll do a benediction. We'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. And there are goodies. Buy the coffee. This week, our youth is Wednesday, 7 to 8:30. We have a bunch of groups running. Is there any area of your life right now where you don't have freedom? It seems like a funny question to ask of Who wants freedom? Some years ago, I had a friend in a meeting that prayed for somebody who was wheelchair-bound. They had not been able to walk in years. And after my friend prayed with them and whoever else, the person actually could walk, which is pretty radical. So what my friend did is he got the guy's name, and once a week he'd go and visit him. And what happened is every week he came to see him, the guy was going backwards. Until after visiting him, after a couple of months, he was back in the wheelchair. And so my friend said to him, "What happened?" And he said, "I don't want to work." Here, he had been bound to this wheelchair for years, and he became comfortable with it, so much so he didn't want the freedom of being able to walk around. And so the question we ask, is there anything in our lives that we need freedom in? Because if we don't want the freedom, as much as Jesus wants to bring the freedom, it's not going to happen. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that Christ has come to set us free in every area of our lives. Amen.
Let's stand as we close our service together.
Are you past the point of weary? Are there burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Broken dreams and wasted years, and let the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus, and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who could work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 If you take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty, who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my Jesus change your life.
You are dismissed. Have a great week.